So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. Convention starts a week from Monday. Aren't you really excited? We're going to be talking to Mark Smith, the creator of the Poetry Slam, in a few minutes. But he has collaborated with our mutual friend, Mark Elleveld. And in seeing Mark, I realized, wow, I've known Mark for, I've known him for like 20 years, and I don't know anything about you. It's like, well, I've admired you and know this and know what you wrote. And you know,
you had me on the show in 2001. You had me on the show in 2001, 2002.
Jeez, I've had this show for I've had the nicer studio somehow.
This is gorgeous. Wow. What did you do to get this?
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. One day a week I get to come in here. Yeah. You're a teacher now. How did your relationship with poetry and with Mark Smith started how?
1991, Lewis University, there was a professor, Richard Prince, who passed 2 years ago, and I came out of the military, went to Lewis to...
What kind of military?
In the Army.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I worked on helicopters.
Wow.
And so when I came out, I thought I was going to Lewis for aviation, and then I ran into a couple of English professors and philosophy professors, and I just started reading and writing, and I was walking down the hall, and Dr. Richard Prince, who was a fixture at the Slam since the very beginning.
Wow.
He's probably been there second longest than Mark, you know.
Wow.
He said, hey, I've got this poet coming, and I'd like you to take the class. It's on Monday nights from 6 to 9. And I think to date it's the only class that Mark Smith, performance poet originator, ever taught.
Wow.
And he gave me a C.
He did?
Only C I ever got in college.
What was the gist of the class? Was it writing poetry? Was it?
It was mostly performance. So Mark was very, you know, he was ahead of his time because people were teaching these spoken word poetry slam classes now.
Yeah.
And it was the craft of performance and writing because, you know, Mark's a very good writer, as you and I have talked about many times.
No question. No question. But from that class, you obviously were drawn to A Night at the Green Mill. Yeah.
The final was at the Green Mill. So we had to give a performance. And, I remember I was drinking too much beer at the time, and Mark said, you know, you'd be a little bit better if you stopped drinking so much beer, and you wouldn't be so angry, too.
Wow, were your poems angry?
I don't know what they were, you know. But I went and saw Mark at McCabe's. Is that? I don't know. And he had a nice audience there, and I was studying journalism, too, at Lewis. And so I said, you know, what does your press packet look like? Who's your press person? How do you know, like, where you're supposed to go for gigs and getting gigs and doing articles and stuff? And he laughed at me. He was like, I don't have one.
Yeah, I bet.
And so it's 1991. I said, well, I'll do it.
Wow, so that's how that happened?
That's how that happened, yeah.
And you've been close to him ever since, obviously.
Yeah, he's my pal.
I mean, really close.
Yeah, he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
Such a good guy.
And such a grand talent. How good a poet were you or are you or did you stop?
I stopped. Yeah, I wrote a poem for my wife for our wedding, and then...
She said, don't do that. I'll marry you, but stop writing poetry.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, part of this when Mark is creating all this, because he's the founder of the Poetry Slam.
Yep.
But there wasn't a playbook, and he was doing something new.
Yeah, no question.
What Mark is really good about is he pays tribute to the organizers, to the behind-the-scenes people. And there's a legion of them. Emily Calvo, our friend. Henry Sampson, our friend. Steve Marsh, our friend. And so when he's curating, which I think is the right word, and he's got his show that he's developing, he's got all these writers coming in, learning how to write. On the podcast, Billy Lombardo said, I went to Mark to learn how to write.
Yeah,
Chuck Perkins has said the same thing to me. So it's not just performance. Like, they like the way that Mark performs and writes and his commentary about it as well. But there were all these different roles as the Poetry Slam was taken off. And there was enough work to be behind the scenes and doing stuff, which I feel like that was always my role.
Talk about the first book, the Last Word Quintet. Is that what it's called?
That's Mark's latest trio.
Oh, no, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Where I have it here somewhere. I've written it down.
That's
somewhere.
Okay.
No, I know the title of it because that's when you were on my show.
The Spoken Word Revolution.
Spoken Word Revolution. How did that book come to be?
I was driving home from the Green Mill. It was a Sunday night, and Milt Rosenberg had Kevin Stein before he was the Illinois Poet Laureate,
yeah,
and Dominique Rocca, the publisher of Source Books, on. And Dominique just had Poetry Speaks out, which sold like, you know, a couple hundred thousand. And that's the one with Langston Hughes is on there.
Yep.
And then Kevin Stein was talking about a new anthology he had out, and he was talking about the poets he was including, but they weren't any of the Green Mill slam poets.
Mm-hmm.
So I got home, I wrote him an email, I wrote Dom an email, Dami Graca, they both responded, and Kevin's like, I don't know if that's, and Kevin Stein and I have since become great pals, but he's like, I don't know if those are the poems I'm looking for, and then Dominique said, those are exactly, Mark Smith is exactly the poet I'm looking for.
See, even at that time, way back, even 20 years ago, that whole conflict between the so-called academic poets and performance poets. That's why Mark is such a pioneer.
Yeah.
Mark Smith is such a pioneer in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And he'll tell us when he comes on the air. And some of the some of the early episodes of your podcast, the Through the Mill podcast, that's now available anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
You just write down Through the Mill, Mark Smith, and you'll find the podcast. It's a collaborative effort between the two of you. You interview him in this, and some of his recollection of the early days I remember them. It's sort of alternately hysterical and chilling at the same time.
Sure, sure. Yeah, he's the talent, and I'm the Rick Kogan on our podcast. I get to ask, yes, but he's the fountain. He's the talent.
I do think, and I don't follow a lot of podcasts, but I just devoured this because you have 7 episodes so far.
Yeah.
The last one featuring Billy Lombardo, who's a great pal of mine, who I met when he was a teacher at the Latin School, and of not just a great poet, but he's also a great fiction writer, too.
Very much, very much.
We will explore in a couple minutes with Mark Smith on phone the Through the Mill podcast, which is something. It's so listenable. It's ridiculous.
Thank
you. Guys did an incredible job. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We have learned how Mark Elveld met Mark Smith, and it's a fine, good story. Mark Smith is now on the phone. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good story.
It is a good, it's a very good story. And he stayed with you all this time.
Did he tell you he was the delinquent student?
No, he didn't tell me that. No, he said he was a really lousy poet, and he drank too much beer before he performed. Can you vouch for that? Is that true, or is he trying to embellish his own?
Did he tell you that I gave him a C?
Yes, he did. He did. Red-faced. He was red-faced when he told me that.
Finish that story, though, Mark.
What? Go ahead.
You're the only C I got ever in my life.
Well, you can be proud. Now he's a professor up at Lake Forest Academy. This whole thing so far, Through the Mill, it's 7 episodes, all of which I have listened to. It's a new podcast. It is reliving the history of not just slam poetry and the poetry slam that you are, of which you are the creator, but it's also reliving your life. Was this, how did this come to be?
Yeah, so, I spent a lot of time overseas at slams overseas because they're all over the place.
Oh, no kidding.
And, in the last few years, the younger people would come up and say, Mr. Smith, don't take this wrong, but we go online and we don't find very much information about Chicago and you at the beginning. And we want to know what the roots are. And I'm an old guy, and the digital world is not something that I am even comfortable in.
Yeah, I get it.
But
I'm like that, too.
But, I felt, there's just, the slams overseas are so much akin to what happened in Chicago. They're really community building things and people finding the stage for the first time. And it's really, when I go over there, I feel like I'm back at the beginnings in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I feel I owe it to these young people to make an effort to get that story out. And And as I found out, you know, a lot of people like Jean Howard, who's on the
she's on the podcast, yeah,
and the Chicago Poetry Ensemble. These are people that got lost, you know, because it didn't get recorded like it should have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one of the great things, and I remember doing a magazine cover story about you relatively early on in this whole thing, where you were astonishingly open and honest and frank about your life and what got you to this point. But the thing is, and I've always maintained this, and I think it's what you're getting to, is the ability for the Poetry Slam to form community. I remember, you know, walking in and meeting poets who didn't just weren't sort of just empowered, they were empowered to form communities. Did you realize that when you were doing this, Mark?
Yeah, you know, that is a big that is a lot of it is by intention, and people don't really understand that. But you know, one, you know, part of the podcast talks about me sobering up. You know, I usually follow the AA dictum that you're not supposed to talk
exactly
about it in public.
Yep.
But on the podcast, it was an important part of the movement, because I took some of those principles from AA and put them into use in the slam world. It didn't always work, because there's a lot of drinking in the slam world, but
sure.
There's a lot of ego-minded people. But, you know, anybody who knows anything about AA, it's service-minded. It is about people getting together to solve their problem of alcoholism. But it is it's a way of life that supports community and service to people. And that was an intention, that we called the slam world. We called it a family at the beginning, a slam family, and it was a dysfunctional family. But
find me a family that isn't. Thank you very much. Could you tell the story? One of the first stories, and in the you can just go online and just type in Through the Mill, Mark Smith, and you will find it. Right, Mark.
Yeah, Elliphel, anywhere podcasts.
Anywhere you tell the story.
THRU.
Yeah, right. THRU. You talk about where the name came from, and Lynn Votish, former I don't know where she is now, but former writer for the Sun Times, was trying to figure out what to call the thing you were doing at the Get Me High Lounge, right. And she's like, "Well, what should I call this, Mark?" And talk. That's a great little story in the first episode of Through the Mill. How did that name come to be? Because I love it, and this used to be, you know, this used to be the Cubs station too. Yeah.
So, you know, I started at the Get Me High, and it was the Monday night reading, and Lynn covered that with a couple stories, and then I told her that I was going to start a second show at the Green Mill,
mm-hmm.
and she called up and said, "Hey, Mark, I want to do an advanced story for you to help you,
sure,
you know, start the show off." And I'm like, "That's great, Lynn, thank you, and so what are you going to call the show?" oh, I need a name. And so I happened to be listening to the Cubs, and I thought at that time slam dancing was around too. That was around.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about being a little kid wishing for Ernie Banks to hit a home run, and bases were loaded.
Yeah.
Wishing for him to hit the home run, and he did hit the grand slam home run. And I was thinking, slam, okay, that's great. But also, at the Get Me High, as you know, and people that were there know, mm-hmm. you know, we were allowed to heckle. So, you could be slammed. The door could be slammed on you. So I was thinking, okay, slam got both those meanings to it. And then I thought, well, it's in Uptown, and nobody really knew where Uptown was.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
And so I wanted to put the name Uptown in there, Uptown Poetry Slam, and had a nice little rhythm to it, too.
It does, and it sure does.
How it came about.
You you could never have, and I know you and I have talked about this, you could never have imagined, because you weren't doing this pragmatically. You weren't like, well, this is, what are, because you and I are like the least savvy business people I could even imagine. You didn't say, well, this might be something that I could do for a living. It was life as opposed to a profession. You were not pragmatic about this, like, well, wow, that's a really catchy name. Maybe I can copyright this and make a lot of money. It's one of the true organic inventions that I can think of in this town, known for a lot of cool inventions. Yeah, sure. Mark, don't you think too?
Very much so. Very much so. And that's the podcast hits on, you know, the thing that's, we knew it at the time, but Mark was definitively the leader of this thing.
No question.
Friend or foe. Mm. That little C that he gave me is, that's the artist saying, this one's not so good. Yeah. And there was so much ego back then, but you know, you were at Patricia Smith's award last week. Mark presented, and everybody that we come in contact with for the podcast talks about such a creative moment in history.
Yeah.
This was,
yeah,
and the curation that went on with it. And now, you know, I'm 52, and there's probably, you know, five or six generations of this at this point. And the kids 18, 19 in college is now looking for this. This is going into universities to be taught. And it's different than that first wave of all the different books and stuff. It's like people my age that were in it for a while, behind the scenes, even though the ego has been decompressed and tossed out the window. And now it's thriving for a voice like Mark and people who learn from Mark to come back and to...
Well, I think, and Mark and I, one of the reasons I think this podcast is so important is I think it, in you talking about how you developed as a writer and a poet is a fabulous kind of learning experience. I think it's kind of empowering to people that say, well, wait, I came from, you know, I worked construction and I did this and I did that and I did this. And then I started to find a voice, because what I saw every time I've ever been to a slam in the old days at the Green Mill is it is absolutely, and Billy Lombardo talks about it in the seventh episode of this podcast, about how empowering it is for youth. And now, well, we can't hear your answer because we have to go to news now. And we'll get back to the real news with Mark Smith in a few minutes. Welcome back. I am on the phone with my friend Mark Smith and in studio with Mark Elleville. They have collaborated on a new podcast, Through the Mill. It is the story of Mark Smith.
Yeah.
And his creation, which is the Poetry Slam. One of the great things about it for me, Mark, and I really devoured these seven episodes. They're all, you know, 37 minutes, one's 20, one's an hour, but they're all terribly compelling. And one of the great things is you brought back, and you have ever been like this, brought back the names of people who helped you along the way. People like, you know, the great Hispanic poet David Hernandez. It was just great to hear his name, and it was especially great to hear you talk about Lois Weisberg, because Lois, who was in charge of the cultural affairs for the city of Chicago, she was pretty amazing, yeah. Don't you think?
Oh, man, yeah. You know, and that's where I first met you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, I had done something for her, and there was some kind of little gathering she had, and out of nowhere, you're up there talking about me, and I don't know if I didn't get an award or anything, but I got called out and given props. I'm like, oh, God, what's this about?
Someone said something nice about Mark.
What a magnificent woman. She did so much.
Ugh.
And a lot of those early, you know, early people in the slam world, too, the organizers that have been, you know, their names have been forgotten.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of because we didn't pay much attention to that stuff, like you said. We were too busy living life to worry about, you know, recording it and everything. It's great to bring those names back, and it's a joy for me to help do that now.
No, and I think this is a really important. The slam now takes place at the Green Mill once a month on Sunday in the afternoon, which must... which must in some ways, you haven't even reached that point in the podcast, but it must be drawing, I'll ask both of you, it must be drawing a new kind of crowd, which I think is great if that's true. Is that true?
It's partly people coming back saying, God, I'm so glad you guys started it up again after COVID. It was so important to me. And then there's all these young new people come in. It's very much like the early years again.
You know,
people finding the stage and finding a place to let their voice come alive.
You know, you must, and I get the sense from the podcast that you and Mark Elveld have been doing through the mill. 7 episodes so far, and as far as I'm concerned, it can go to 700 episodes. It's so compelling. It's so compelling. If you guys got the time, I don't, all I have to do is like listen. I don't have to do anything. But I get the sense, Mark, in some of your travels that as you were saying at the beginning of this interview, that there are a lot of people out there across the world. I think in the podcast, you mentioned that there are something like 60 cities in France that have slams going on. That must overwhelm you, sort of.
You know, that people say that, it's a service thing. You know, it's service people in service to other people understand it. You know, it's kind of, you get a kind of warm feeling, but it's not about you. It's about what you can do for other people. And that was a big lesson to learn. You know, most artists, especially in the poetry world, you start out with this big ego and, you know, you're insecure. The great artists, I think, find out that you're to be in service to your audience.
And yeah.
Certainly what I do when I go overseas.
I'll add that.
A lot of guys go there and charge a lot of bucks. You know, you give me an airfare and put me in a lodge and make me a meal and fly me.
Yeah, you don't need to be knighted in France. Maybe you've been knighted in France.
Yes.
You've been knighted? That's good.
Yeah, you're talking to Sir Mark Smith now.
I don't think that comes with a big check, though. It comes with a sir. And then, go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say that they're, going back to the Green Mill thing, they're, and experiencing this just at the Poetry Foundation for Patricia's thing when Mark spoke, there's a group of us that, and well beyond me, but you know, you Marty McConnell's and Ron Maruzak, my partner from EF Press, when you go to the Green Mill, it's going home.
Yeah.
And with what's kind of gone on, I think people took it for granted so much and took Mark for granted so much and the creation and the artwork. And there's, you know, it is the place. It always has been the place to go. But I was also thinking, like, you know, you have those discussions, Nelson Algren, who you knew, and Saul Bellow, when they leave Chicago. Mark's got that, when he goes overseas, like, he's Chicago, and he's a Chicago icon. But, you know, those things that sent Saul Bellow and Nelson Algren away, Mark has experienced those things in his lifetime. And then to go overseas and then to become Sir Mark Smith and get the key to Tours France.
You know, Mark Smith, you have always been a very self-effacing guy, very reluctant to toot your own horn, that's for sure. I reread that. Go ahead.
I think that's the Chicago thing, don't you? That,
yep.
You know, that's part of that Chicago thing, and I'm happy about that, you know. That you don't make too much of yourself because somebody's going to come along and slam you down.
that is true. But you know what you've seen, though, both of you of the poetry world, is there's been some you know sort of exploitation of it. No one in the early days of poetry slams were thinking, well, if I win the poetry slam, then I will be able to be a movie star or something. It kind of reminds me of the comedy club boom when comics, the initial geniuses who got up on stage, guys like Bob Newhart and Nichols and May and Shelley Berman, They were just doing it to express themselves. Success did come to them, but then the second generation came in and said, oh, wait a minute, if I like pretend I'm talking on a phone, I'll become rich. Yeah. And that's something that I think is kind of sullied. I don't know if that bothers you two guys, the commercialization of it all.
Well, I fought against it from the very beginning. And, and at one point I was disheartened because it seemed like it was warning. But what's the great thing now, and this is especially overseas, is that the slams overseas, they understand, you know, that this is about people being able to get on stage and express themselves. And certainly a lot of them become very, very successful. There's a great I'm not going to remember his name. There's an Italian poet. I can't remember his name right now. Who won some big thing. But what's great about it is that he stays in the community.
Yeah.
As does Grand Corps Milan in France, who is spectacularly successful. But he stays in the community and helps the community and doesn't, you know, make it all about himself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have been remarkable in that. And that's obviously, Mark Elefeld, something that, you know, you cannot have a relationship, the kind of relationship you have with Mark Smith, if he had turned into, Jay Leno or something. You know what
no.
I mean?
No, there was one point in the house in Berwyn when we were doing, I got him a gig or something, and he's like, hey, buddy, I think at some point I got to pay you. And, like, he threw $70 at me from the top of the steps, and I threw it back at him at the bottom. Like, I don't think that's how that works kind of thing.
You guys have been quite a pair, and I just, Martin, have you listened to this podcast? I'm curious about that. Marks, have you listened to it?
Yeah, I haven't listened to all of them all the way through. It's kind of, you know how it is. With
yeah,
stuff.
You but what you've listened to, don't you? I think it's just so compelling, and I got to tell you that that episode 4 where you do talk about in a wonderful kind of way with the Chicago ethos involved of AA and how it was modeled on AA and. There was never.
Part of it was part. I don't want to say it was modeled like, you know, like it's a.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Certain principles. For instance, one principle in AA is personalities, not personalities. Principles, not personalities. And
mm-hmm.
then I try to put that so that the ego isn't driving the slam. It's those ideas of community and service and We got the next one coming up. Our buddy Tony Fitzpatrick is going to be on it.
Well, I would be incredibly.
He's going to do the show. He's going to do the show Sunday this coming Sunday, next Sunday.
Next Sunday? Oh, yeah. Well, that's great because as you know, Tony and I go way, way, way back, and he's a artist on a million different levels. Tony's a good poet. He's a great visual artist. He's a great radio guest. He's a great radio host. He's a great movie actor, and he's a pretty good husband and father too. I mean, it's a great package. And he was really helpful to you too, wasn't he, Mark?
Yeah, no, he was the guy that.
Yep.
He was there when I sobered up and. And then he was at the show. He was the referee at the show for the slam competition. God, was he brutal!
Anybody with that many tattoos can be brutal. Mark, can you stay to the top of the hour? We got to take a little break, and I'd love to have you on for about 10 more minutes. Could you?
Sure.
Thanks. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back. We've got 10 more minutes with Mark Smith sitting somewhere away from the studio.
On the porch of Savannah with his vanilla bug spray. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's nice. This is a nice view too, Mark Elefeld. We're looking at the lake and the Ferris wheel. They have collaborated on a fantastic podcast on 7 episodes and growing. The 7th episode features a good friend of mine, too, Billy Melombardo, a terrific poet, and he explains how the first time he came to the slam, what the slam did for him, and he's part of episode 8, too, Mark.
Yeah, that conversation went on long enough that our director is Hugh Schulz, who's He's a Chicago filmmaker as well.
Yeah.
Made Dreaming on Grand Avenue, which starred Tony Fitzpatrick, who you guys talked about already. But what he's really good about, him and Mark are lockstep in, because those conversations go longer than what you hear.
Sure.
So I think they're economical and that there's nothing wasted, and that's Hugh and Mark and the team that Hugh brings to it.
Where do you tape those? Because there's applause at the end of each one. Is that like fake applause from borrowed from like the Danny Thomas show or something?
That would be fun.
Yeah, it would be.
We have our friend Joe Haiku Joe Valles records some of the stuff at the mill.
Oh, neat.
Because we have poems included in the podcast, and then Hugh and his Tony, the editor, and Kevin, I think, is another editor. They slice that stuff together for us. So
wanted
to give that feeling of through the mill.
Yeah, sure. Has this been for you, Mark Smith, an interesting creative endeavor? It sure sounds like it when I listen to you on the show.
You know, it's more back into that service thing, you know. Performing for me is a different, you know, kind of a different thing that any actor will tell you, or, you know, you get in those lights and you're kind of become a channel for something bigger than yourself when you're really doing it. But I really look at this as really service work. It's not about me at all. It's about helping to get the story out. You know, we don't want Chicago to be forgotten, do we?
No, I certainly don't. No.
It's a lifeline for me.
Well, we'll see what happens next week at the Democratic Convention. But yeah, I certainly don't want Chicago to be forgotten. I love Chicago. There is, you know, it's so funny, Mark, when you were a young man, you started out your sort of so-called academic career wanting to be an architect. And I think in a way, not to make too much of this, but you have been an architect. You have built something by creating the slam, and you have enabled people to live in this world in which you've created. I know you're thinking, oh, Rick, shut up. It's not that important, Mark. What do you think?
Absolutely. The other part of Mark that Mark is a showmaker. So, and then that not knowing the personalities or the poet, like I knew a lot more about some of the poets' work over the years than some of the ones that Mark knew, but Mark knew like how to put the show together. So those characters that he's creating in his show, the professor I mentioned at the very beginning,
yeah,
it was Richard Prince. It's Prince of Dix was the nickname at the show. Can I say that on WGN?
Sure.
All right. But yeah. But like you go to these different events and you watch how Mark puts it together, and that's, you know, sometimes people get mad because they're only their 3 minutes or only their 5 minutes, but it's an art form to put that thing together. He's a showmaker.
Mark, and you're also, Mark, I'd be remiss not to talk about the Last Word Quintet, which is another of your creative ventures. You play with what do you call it, the old man group? What do you call that group?
Yeah, well, you know, that takes me about because I was to the set at the Green Mill, and I sat in to the poems over his music, and I've done that with a lot of people. I used to do it with Jim Seagull, they just at the Green Mill sometimes, and I think it's, in my opinion, a unique way of doing the spoken word that nobody quite does the same way.
Well,
the Last Word Quintet, we played at Fitzgerald and Space up there and Studio 5.
I'd love Studio 5. That's a great place, too. There are so many hidden great places in this town. Mark, it is great to talk to you. You know how much I respect, admire, and like you, actually. You're the whole package for me. You're the whole package. I'm no big fan of podcasts, I must tell you, but this thing just grabbed me. I mean, I'm now sitting here going, when does number 8? When's that 8th episode come out with Billy Lombardo? Maybe he'll talk, you know, he's very much of the Chicago school too, Mark. I mean, you and he grew up in different neighborhoods, but there are a lot of similarities there, I find. Don't you?
It's the Chicago thing.
Yeah.
That's what made this slam thing happen. The Chicago feel, the Chicago kind of aesthetic.
Yep.
And it's around the world.
That's a great thing. Spreading around the world. Do you know when your next foreign trip is going to be?
It's going to be in November to Belgium.
Huh.
And then I have another one in December to, I can't even remember where.
somewhere not here. Mark, it's great to talk to you. I can't wait to see you. I'll be there one Sunday afternoon.
Okay, thanks.
All right, you bet.
See you, Mark.
Bye, Mark.
Your relationship with him is how many years now?
Since 1991.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
No, he's my pal. He's means a lot to me. Means a lot to Chicago. Many, many different poets and artists, but he's my pal.
What's your ambition for this? Obviously, I think this through the mill with Mark Kelly Smith could go on. I mean, it could go on indefinitely.
Yeah, he's helping me really, because I'm ultimately going to write his biography. That's, we've kind of talked about it. So to get all this stuff down has just been godsend.
Yeah. Well, that's also a worthwhile project for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the stuff I've gone through and experienced with him, this has been my role from the beginning. I've always thought about doing that particular book, and our good friend Kevin Koval has always encouraged me, and a bunch of Chicagoans and outside of it.
You know? Yeah, but just think of how many poets you'll have to interview for this thing. That's the frightening thing.
Yeah, interviewing politicians and poets. Rick.
Yeah. You have another book project that involves a noted politician.
Hey, Mark, I'm surprised Mark didn't jump on this just for time's sake, but you've been so good to the poetry community in Chicago for so long. Thank you guys.
Hey,
yeah, we like you.
I like you guys.
Thanks so much, man.
And I never stopped drinking either, so that's I never had to perform, never had to get up on stage and recite a poem. But
we'll go to the Billy Goat one day.
Huh?
Can I go to the Billy Goat with you one day?
Anybody can go to the Billy Goat. Yeah, right. I want to see what the Billy Goat on Madison Street is like during this convention. It's just outside of the, you know.
Are you hanging around for that?
I was there in 68.
Okay, all right.
That's enough for me.
Take Tony with you. Make sure you're going to wear it.
Yeah, more than enough for me. Tony was a child in 68. Oh. I don't know Tony. He would have been a little kid.
Okay.
A little kid. I'm thinking it's going to be, those were in the days when the conventions were nuts, because it was the primaries did not dictate the candidates.
Yeah.
There was argument on the floor, and that was a crazy scene. I hope it is not. I hope it's not dangerous. I hope nobody gets hurt.
Good.
And
good.
We know who the candidates are. Okay. Congratulations on this.
Thank you, Rick.
And you folks out there, read your next Sunday Tribune, because that's what I'll be writing about.